O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth, and render a reward to the proud. Lord, how long shall the wicked, how long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger, and murder the fatherless. And yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Psalm 94:1-7. Where there is beauty, it should be admired. When the call for a sharp, crisp note comes, let it be clear to the listener. And when the context or the meaning of God's words are changed, there's chaos. And from the noise within, bellows of anger and agony come from the chaos, and they're so loud that many will not hear the precious words being spoken to them. And in their frustration, in their fear, in their sense of hopelessness, they sit down and cover their ears. They cannot stand the pitch of the winds, nor do they want to see the destruction that follows. And so they turn inward, and there waiting for them are hearts of stone, fallen hearts. Hearts that will seek to preserve at any cost, and hearts that are fueled by lust. When a heart is found in a condition such as this, it is ripe for harvest. And so one must consider who the workers are in the fields, and answer the question, will they hear and turn to the Lord, or will they solidify their allegiance to the father of disorder and chaos? There's a reason for choosing to use the Old English text of the King James Version for the reading and studying of this passage of Scripture in Psalm 94. In many other translations, this passage opens up as such, O Lord, God of vengeance, O God of vengeance, shine forth. Now compare what you heard from the King James Version earlier. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth? O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Do you hear a difference? In the King James Version, we are reminded to whom vengeance belongs. It is to God that all things are to come to. It is for him that all things were created and brought into being. And he is the one to whom all of creation must turn to, and from whom all provisions come. And so it is he who is justified by the vengeance that will be set upon the earth and on those who deny or rebel against him. To God goes the glory we sing in our hymns, and to him also goes the authority to chastise, to punish, to curse, and to bless, an individual or a nation. Today the outrage against the things of God, against the ways of God, these things are as water spilling over the top of the dam, and they are consuming anything in their way as they make their way to the sea, to the pit. We sometimes look upon the people within the pages of the Bible, and we shake our heads and we wonder how they could continue to do the same things over and over again when God led them by a cloud by day and by a pillar of fire by night. They could see his presence before them, and yet they fell, and they grumbled, and they sought what filled their hearts, their own comforts. What can be said of us today? Look around you. What has happened to a people in a land, a country built on faith, structured using the ways of the Lord, and has grown by prosperity, the prosperity he has given them in their service? What has happened to the love of one another? Of the unity of a nation that once set out into the world to share the good news of the gospel. And now she finds on her shores, from distant countries, people who are coming here to share the good news. Because she has lost her way, and the light that she once was is now but an ember, as she has turned her back on her Creator, and for it suffers at the hands of evil and wicked people, who proclaim that they are the way, they are the truth, and they will be determined when, where, how, and if you shall prosper or have life. Here's what God said to the people of Israel through Moses, his servant, as they were about to enter the promised land. From Deuteronomy 29, carefully follow the terms of this covenant so that you may prosper in everything you do. And all of you are standing today in the presence of the Lord your God, your leaders and chief men, your elders and officials, and all the other men of Israel. Together with your children and your wives and the aliens living in your camps who chop your wood and carry your water, you are standing here in order to enter into a covenant with the Lord your God, a covenant the Lord is making with you this day and sealing with an oath to confirm you this day as his people, that he may be your God as he promised you and as he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm making this covenant with this oath not only with you who are standing here with us today, but in the presence of the Lord our God, and also with those who are not here today. You yourselves know how we lived in Egypt, and how we passed through the countries on the way here. You saw among them their detestable images and idols of wood and stone, of silver and gold. Make sure there is no man or woman, clan or tribe among you today, whose heart turns away from the Lord our God to go and worship the gods of those nations. Make sure there is no root among you that produces such bitter poison. And when such a person hears the words of this oath, he invokes a blessing on himself, and therefore he thinks, I will be safe, even though I persist in going my own way. And this will bring disaster on the watered land as well as the dry. The Lord will never be willing to forgive him. His wrath and zeal will burn against that man. And all the curses written in this book will fall upon him, and the Lord will blot out his name from under heaven. The Lord will single him out from all the tribes of Israel for disaster, according to all the curses of the covenant written in this book of the law. Verses 29 to 21. These two passages of Scripture, from both Psalms and Deuteronomy, they complement each other in the way that God has set forth before all of mankind his laws, his ways, and what the people took to and kept in their hearts in following them. The nation of Israel, he chose to make his word, to take his word and make it known to the world. Their task proved too much for them. God did not cast them away because of it, but he sent them into exile so that they may have time to see and witness for themselves from a different angle the work of the Lord in his creation. Only those with eyes to see and ears to hear will step forward and answer the Lord's call. And the rest will, with feet planted, rebel against the truth before them, and they will work diligently to make what is appear as what should be. The Lord tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick, and who can understand it? He says, I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. From Jeremiah 17. The next weeks will find us looking further at how the Lord has set before men all things, and of how men have rejected the hand of God, and by their choices they will either be blessed or they will suffer the consequences of their choices. Either way, justified will be the actions of the Lord. Quickly approaches the day when the Lord Jesus Christ will call his bride, the church, home. And together, while the wrath of God is unleashed upon the earth, those with Jesus will be sitting at the bridal feast in heaven. Shall I plead with you to turn to God? Oh, that you would hear my words and heed them. But I can only tell you what the Lord says and what is yet to come, and help to open your eyes to what is today, to encourage you to fear not the things of man, nor the hearts of those who will seek to persecute you. They may take all that you have and try to silence you, and many may see the inside of a prison for their faith, and others, such as those in Nigeria and China, North Korea, and many other countries today, will not know the luxury of prison. But they will see the hand raised against them lifted to take their life. To get through these days, you must return to God. You cannot follow the callings of the now woke church that has set its sights on inclusion, and who follows a different gospel, and worships a different God, and who continue to do those things that are contrary to his word. Seek for yourself a church family that is shepherded by a pastor who loves the Lord more than he does his church's stature, who seeks the truth even when it is hard, and who is willing to stand for righteousness in the things of God and against those things which the Lord has made clear in his word are displeasing to him. This is where you will find truth. This is where you will become strong and find hope, that you may one day hear these words from Jesus, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." You cannot serve man above the Lord, and you cannot compare the ways of man to the ways of God. You cannot sit in a den of thieves and liars and expect the truth to show itself. It's time to armor up, to get in the battle, and to fight for the souls of men. But first you must get yourself in a right relationship with God. On that day, the day of the Lord, where will you be found? Will you be found waiting or wanting?